as voters go.
FM. This is member-supported WPFW Washington.
Live from Ben's Next Door, 12th and U Streets Northwest, it's the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry D. Kester. It's seriously funny, and it begins right now.
And good evening. We are here tonight at Ben's Next Door. We're going to be here every Tuesday for the whole month of April, so you have no excuse not to get down here and join the fray. And I'm Terry D. Kester with the Raucous Caucus and with...
Mark Levine. I mean, Garland Nixon.
You can say my name.
I'm Mark Levine.
And I'm Garland Nixon.
And you notice in the very beginning, they've started out completely confused, which is why I'm here with the sagacity.
Yeah. That's right.
To weave our way through the confusion. Anyway, this is WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. And again, we are on here this entire month of April. We're alternating every other month now.
Come see us, 1211 U Street. Yeah. It's right next door to Vince Chili Bowl.
How's the food, guys?
How's the food?
Yeah, all right.
Grab cakes, I'm looking at it.
Can you bring us those mashed potatoes up here?
Let's hear some cheering from the audience.
No cooperation, I'll tell you.
I'm seeing drinks with limes floating around in them.
For those of you who don't know, some of you have come in and seen this curtain across and don't know what it is. Come all the way to the back.
We're
upstairs. Behind the curtain.
Just like the Wizard of Oz.
Come join us. Yeah. Yes, only with less sagacity.
Yeah, speaking of Wizard of Oz, doesn't Dick Cheney, speaking of, you know, the Tin Man, I mean, aren't you glad that Dick Cheney finally got a heart?
I don't think it'll change him, Terry.
You know, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Finally, the poor guy gets a heart. Which brings us all mathematically, how's that for a segue? Do you love that or what? To our topic tonight.
Oh, God.
Hang in there. Concentrate, guys. Come on. Work with me here. So who the heck needs health care anyway is the general topic because we're not going to have it. And so forget about it. And
like we don't now?
Well, no, we got some. You know, we got some, but things are changing. So that,
I could just rip this up, the Constitution of the United States.
Forget about it. The Constitution, I'm thinking about health care.
It's outdated.
Let me just read you one little quote here. You'll love this. This is from David Ignatius at the Washington Post. And the Supremes, he says, I love that. I like that nickname for the Supreme Court.
The original Supremes were much better.
They were much better.
And prettier. They were much prettier, too, I might add.
I think you got a signal to stop singing. It's nothing personal. The Supremes could throw Obamacare out the window, and we'd still have a revolution in health care delivering the promise of better treatment for Americans at lower cost. May I have a show of hands of how many of you believe that?
I do.
Stanley.
I was very impressed.
Anthony believes it.
I was impressed with that article. What it conveyed was something that isn't talked about very often.
Everybody talks about
the individual mandate. They even talk about the good stuff, like being on your parents' plan year 26 or closing the donut hole or restricting healthcare company profits. But what David Ignatius was talking about was changing the whole way that healthcare is done from instead of it being a fee-for-service – where every test the doctor runs on you, they get money. In this way, you're being paid for actually making patients well. I think it's great.
Oh, what a theory.
That's what you're supposed to do?
That's the other half of the Affordable Health Care Act that nobody ever talks about.
I'm glad
you read the article.
That's one of those things that sounds really good in print, you know?
Sound in print because you don't speak the print. I read to myself.
You have to read it?
Maybe you read out loud.
Oh, yeah, sure. Aren't you supposed to read out loud?
I read to myself. But I learned that in second grade.
And I read the mark.
Surely, Garland, even before you have an opinion. No, I'll let you have your stain, then I've got a reply because I thought that article was pretty good, too, until I read this article, which changed my mind entirely. Garland.
So now, all
you need health care?
All you need is a third article. Well, you know what's funny about the discussion of health care that I find interesting, that I've always felt, you know, I've never been happy about. And that is the discussion, unfortunately, is always about people who already have health care. The discussion ignores the people who will, you know, some have referred to as the underclass, unfortunately, the poor who have no health care. The discussion is, will you be able to keep your own doctor? Will you be able to continue? That discussion is about people who already have health care. The discussion needs to be to shift. I mean, that have some level of health care, albeit not as good as they. But we need to shift.
It would have covered most everybody. I mean, it would have included everyone, unless the Supreme Court strikes it down, which they may.
David's point, David Ignatius's point, you know, was that things are changing because of the cost and everything else, whether or not Obama health care goes through. Well, he's right that things are changing. But here's where they're changing too.
Do you want to explain just what he says in the article before we critique it?
I'm going to.
Go ahead.
HCA, which is the largest hospital corporation in America, you know, and the majority of our hospitals by now, as you know, are for-profit hospitals, which is a sin anyway. But HCA, the largest one, is now charging anybody that shows up the emergency room $150 before you get treated. Do you love it?
They can't do that.
Is that America or what? Is that good?
No, there is still a law for the
1980s. It's still a law. You got to treat them, but it doesn't think about whether you got to pay for it. Because of the money being lost, they now charge you $150 before they treat you. Yes, triage will, you know, assess your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it is, quote, a real emergency, like you're dying of a heart attack.
Which you probably wouldn't be there if it weren't.
Well, you probably wouldn't, yeah.
No, there are people who use the emergency room because that's all they have.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and since you bring that up, you know, what would you think is the percentage of people that use the emergency room
for non-emergencies? Half. That's what I would say.
No clue.
8%.
Really?
8%.
It's that low?
It is that low.
Oh,
now you
I'm
would
glad
think
to hear that,
from everything
actually.
You hear in the media and the right-wing fascists, I mean politicians.
Wow, only 8%.
You would think that they are robbing everybody entirely, you know, with that 50% of the people getting their free care and all that, from robbing the rest of us from healthcare. Not only that, there are some hospitals now that have gone up to a nice fee of $350 before they will treat you.
Well, see, I don't understand that, Terry, because there is this law from the 1980s. It's the law under Ronald Reagan, Democratic Congress. It's exactly the law that Scalia complained about and said we shouldn't have, because you may remember when the Solicitor General, Donald Verrilli, said, well, people come to emergency rooms and they don't have the money to pay for their care, and someone has to pay for it, and that's why we have the individual mandate. And Scalia said, well, why do you have that rule? And Verrilli said, well, it's a law and it's the social norms. And Scalia said, you don't have to do that. And Verrilli said, well, states have obligated themselves to take care of people if they're dying in an emergency. And Scalia says, don't obligate yourself.
Let them die.
Let them die. Now, he didn't quite say let them die.
No, well,
but he said it in judicial speak.
You know,
he said, letus demus dies.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Mortis make a merriment.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Scalia, you know, has stock in HCA.
Maybe so.
It's a very profitable hospital. And not only that, but what they do basically is you show up, you get triaged, they say, okay, you've got a sore throat, you got a fever. Well, the fever's not crucial. Go to a clinic or go to your doctor.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah,
and you're out.
But that's been happening since this law.
Well,
yeah,
but now, Terry, but the other part about the 8% is this. And this is what's unfortunate. You know, I went to up on the Capitol Hill. I went to this forum on healthcare when the whole debate was going on. And one of the things they were talking about is how many people die from acute conditions, something that hits all of a sudden and it's serious, but they don't have health care. They don't go to the emergency room, you know, thinking, well, and they don't know that anyone has to help them. They think, I don't have any money. They don't have a doctor to go to. So a lot of people who unfortunately would be in that 8%.
Do you remember those numbers?
They die.
I do. The numbers I saw 22,000 a year.
Who die.
Who die every year because they lack health insurance. Yep. And they couldn't get to a doctor in time.
Well, and they don't go. They just simply don't go, knowing that they don't have health care. Well, and they know if they go, the most they'll get is a Band-Aid and shoved out the door to say, go to your doctor tomorrow.
The real design behind all of this is pure Americana. Let's pick on the poor. You know, that right. is our current mantra.
It's money first.
Well, that's the Paul Ryan budget.
Yeah, right.
You know, right?
Yeah.
The poor are too rich.
Do everything you
Take
can.
Take the blankets from the homeless and give it to Mitt Romney.
You
he needs it.
If you punish the poor enough, you know, maybe they'll die.
Right.
And you won't have any more poor. And that'll solve the problem.
Or the modest proposal of Jonathan Swift, simply feed them to the rich and then everybody's better off.
They tried that. Yeah. You know. There's another thing that you probably are aware of or may not be aware of, and that is this wonderful service. Now, this is for all these wonderful people that have insurance, you know, and maybe even have good insurance, or maybe not, but there you are.
It's still 80%+ of America.
Yeah, you've gone to the hospital, you know, the emergency room. You haven't got $150. You haven't got $350, so you can't get into the emergency room. You can go to a clinic or see, quote, your doctor. Right. How many poor people have your doctor?
Yeah.
Anyway. So you call up the doctor's office, and the answer you're going to get more and more and more. In fact, I just got a letter today from a doctor I no longer use, thank heavens, to join the concierge service.
I got one of those, too.
Concierge service.
And if you're, you're not aware of the concierge.
I didn't join.
I think I knew.
Did you get one of those, too?
Where you pay a certain amount, and you get every month.
Priority.
Yes, I know some people.
It's like a priority pass. If I'm dying, you get in the door first.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
You pay the concierge, and in some hospital or some doctor's office.
I remember calling my doctor saying, why do I need this? Are you saying I can't make it? Well, you can get a same-day appointment and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know someone who pays, I think it's $1,800 every year. They give their doctor a check.
I thought it looked like a scam. Yeah,
I know someone who pays $1,800 a year.
The one I've got is only $15 a month. So, you know, I mean, but still, I mean, you know. So there
well,
you are.
Well, keep in mind, Terry.
You called the doctor's office.
Keep in mind, Terry. They will actually take your body fluids out to use as medication for the person who pays $1,800 a year.
You're paying that 15.
They'll take your cut your organs out or whatever.
There is enough medication in here that could probably take care of.
Yeah, but that's your drug history, Terry.
Yeah,
that's not normal. That's not for most people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. But you know, can you imagine being in that situation? I mean, you know, put yourself in that situation. You call the doctor's office, and the first reply you get is, oh, good afternoon. Welcome to Dr. Thieve and Kill. Are you a member of...
Are you patient A, patient B, or patient uninsured?
What band are you in? Are you an A patient or a Z patient?
Are you a member of our concierge...
What cast are you in?
Are you a member of our concierge service? Oh, no, may I put you on hold?
Yeah.
That's
right. Beep!
That's it.
Yeah.
Go home and die.
Right.
It's the American dream, the new one.
No, they actually put you on this little thing where you press buttons, you know, to go through. Okay, if you think
you're not on the concierge service? Excuse me.
Yeah.
If you're hurting your heart, press A.
Right.
Press 1. If it's your lungs, press 2. Yeah. If you don't know what it is, hang up.
Right.
In some ways you could say, okay, maybe this is, you know, somewhat acceptable. I mean, I can't say that, but some people might say that. You know, because, quote, listen to any politician from Obama up and down. We have the best health care system in the world.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We truly
34 industrialized nations all live longer than we do, pay way less than we do in health care, and cover everybody in their populations, including, we talked about this before, Costa Rica, which is not an economic powerhouse.
Not exactly.
No, I mean, I'm not attacking the Costa Ricans. They're hardworking,
industrious
people.
Bananas are moving pretty good these days.
It's not just France and England and Canada and Japan and all the countries you think it is. It's even some small countries that are doing just fine.
Let's not insult Costa Rica and their food products.
I'm not insulting them. I'm praising them.
He threw off the thing about
I'm putting us down.
Costa Rica bananas, no. Costa Rica produces the best pineapples in the
world.
Really? There's no question about it. Theirs are the sweetest.
How's their marijuana, Terry?
Not bad.
Okay, I just asked.
You know, it doesn't come with the pineapple.
Oh, it doesn't come with the pineapple. You don't get it with?
I tried smoking a pineapple. It's tough. You know?
Yeah.
You
know, they're so hard to keep them lit. That's what
you were high on something else while you were smoking them.
No. You're just, you know, inspired by you guys.
Okay, all right.
You know? Well, you know, Terry, one of the issues here that it's funny that all the things, everything that we're getting around gets back to this, and that is, that healthcare in America is like everything else now. It is for one purpose and one purpose only, to make money.
Yeah,
right.
It's not to – right now, I mean, if you go down the list, right now, if you check with all of the big agro companies that sell all of these that sell all these chickens and things filled with pesticides and hormones, why? Because they
and pig slime. Right. Don't forget the pig slime.
Because they do not produce this food to be eaten. They produce it to make money.
Right.
So no. Who cares? The healthcare industry, the same, all these issues we're talking about is because the ultimate intent of the people who are running our healthcare industry is not to get people healthy. It's to make money. And but so see, what's happening in America is as we move to the right, as we move to giving all the power to corporations, everything is done is with the intent to make money.
You're right. But that's why I like Dave Ignatius's article that Terry began with.
Well,
because in the second part of that article, of that op-ed,
below the fold, Terry,
he goes into parts of the Affordable Health Care Act, which the Republicans derisively call Obamacare, that most Americans don't know about. And the part that I really liked is where he said that doctors, instead of being paid for every procedure they do on you, mm-hmm. so they do 130 procedures and charge $23,000 to insurance company, they actually get paid for the case. You have lung cancer, you get paid a certain amount. Mm-hmm. If the patient gets well, if the patient dies, you don't get paid so much. And they even do things like if you don't have to come back to the hospital for another procedure, you get paid more. And what this does is with Medicare is it's actually really lowered Medicare costs because now doctors are concentrating, guess what, on the health of their patients rather than how many procedures they can stick you in.
Because there's more money in healthy people in this.
This gives an incentive to cure people rather than an incentive to treat people. And it's part of the act that's gotten virtually no notice by anyone. And I'd really hate if they strike down the individual mandate and they strike down the rest of that part of the act.
I don't think that's going to really solve the problem because no matter what happens, they're still out, as Garland said, to make money. And they make money by procedures basically you don't need.
Well, you know I prefer national health care. I'm not saying it's better than national health care. I'm just saying it's better than the current system.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be the same because obviously the profit in a hospital is getting you to make the expensive choices. They do not want you to choose you to go home and buy Benadryl.
No.
You know, that is
surgery.
Not their goal.
Quintuple heart bypass surgery.
Yeah, at least, you know, they want Dick Cheney to come in, you know, or whatever insurance.
And he spent millions on our tax dollars.
I was about to say, take that back. We've spent millions.
And let me tell you, trying to give that man a heart is one of the most complicated and difficult medical procedures ever.
Well, it won't last. We know that. We don't want to know that. But I mean, I can give
his body keeps rejecting it.
I know. You notice, Roland, here, I'm trying to carry on an intelligent conversation, and it's a little bit hard. I know. Yeah. Break a trend, right?
I was about to say. That's
let me give you an
so
example.
So out of character for you, Terry.
I have the privilege of having a butt.
You don't get a baboon heart?
Yes. Yeah. I know Dick Cheney, Terry, and you're no Dick Cheney.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's an incredible room to walk into. I mean, there's so much gadget. In fact, I just read 10 of the people in your operating room have nothing to do with medicine or
accountants.
Yeah, right. But the other thing, besides technicians, you may not know that most of the technician operations to be manufacturing the equipment you're going to use. And this is enough just to get it more and more exciting equipment, just like buying, you know, the iPad 4, the same idea, whether you need it or not, of like 10 of these rooms. And I asked him, how many do you do a day? 18 day in a single room. One team.
Ouch!
Yeah. And it's costing $18 to $20 a day in each individual room. It's a moneymaker for the hospital. Well, not that some of us don't need it. I'm glad I got mine, and I hope everybody that needs one gets one. But something else, MRIs, CAT scans, et cetera. You know, part of it is, you know, the legal situation. Again,
that's an excuse.
Yeah, it is.
That is absolutely an excuse.
Out of proportion.
Malpractice is a cost. To end all malpractice lawsuits and say if the doctor leaves a scalpel in you, suffer claims, you might save less than 1%. On your health insurance.
Frivolous lawsuits is absurd anyway, because if there is in fact a legal definition for rule 11 for.
Anthony has been taking.
And I know Anthony is one of our regular callers and regular visitors here at Ben's.
And he's chewing on the wind cover of the microphone.
He's got a pad in front of him, and he's writing notes after notes.
Here for Anthony. All right. In other words. You're on.
Hello, Anthony.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. That perfect is the enemy of the good. What we have in our, you know, healthcare system is not perfect in what we had before. And
I agree.
Hopefully,
Obamacare is.
Hopefully, yeah, will be.
Will be.
2016, Hillary Care round two will be better than Obamacare is.
But
it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Exactly. So, you know. So, Leo, let's progress. Let's move around. I think that a lot of us, you know, get into trouble where we criticize the profit motive. All about profit. We are a capitalist society.
You would have to remind
us. We're not, so, you know, we have to maintain a certain health, profit motive in healthcare, which is one of the brilliant three to kind of create Obamacare. But we have to have that, and we have to figure out ways to ultimate, well, because at least state or federal, hospitals, and then basically.
Well, actually, the profit motive in, and at the same time, take care of everyone. And it's really not that complex. It's called MACTRS in Medicare. All the doctors are private. All the hospitals are private. They get paid according to a negotiation. 94% of people on Medicare like Medicare, which I always cite that statistic.
Can I think like a legislator for 1 second? Through. What can I get?
Medicare
passed?
Got through in 1965.
So what I'm saying is I agree with Tony from the perspective that's what we got could get through. We could come up with a lot of other better.
So we should use the public option as the club.
Absolutely.
That it is.
I agree with that.
You know, we definitely should have a better club. But what we better yet will have, because again, we're talking about most of the stuff has not taken place,
Anthony, because you do realize, I mean, I know you're a young man, you know, but you know, I've been lying around for quite a while. You know, were not for profit. They were in fact county hospitals or university hospitals. In Northern Virginia, for instance, is a not for profit. And up to now, it's about just as well or better than profit hospitals without that greedy profit motive.
Speaking of the greedy profit motive of the hospital, as opposed to the greedy profit motive, fine, the hospital may not be making these exuberant profits, but the exuberant
the doctors.
Profits.
So fine, I will argue.
You can have nonprofit hospitals, and that's all well and good and great, but that's not the profit motivations that have caused our healthcare system to escalate the way that it has.
Yeah, this is going to surprise you, but I forget who wrote the article, and I wish I had it with me, but there was somebody pointing out, and with respect, actually have the worst of all possible combinations. Because what we have, unlike what we have, is a system that is half profit and half government, and mandates or pushes certain ideas through, just like they're doing with even Obama's healthcare plan, where private insurers, the government is actually pushing people into, so that what you have is actually the worst of all possible.
Well, I disagree with Terry and that is this.
I'm going to
You
France.
Can push someone, if you push someone, quote, push someone into this for-profit system, if they're better off to be pushed into a for-profit system than to be pushed in a graveyard because they die.
Well,
my point
well,
being,
it's not
and
relevant.
I think Anthony's
Sorry.
Point,
I think
is it's better than to have even a smidgen of coverage is better than what they have
It's
now.
Not the question so much of insurance, the least regulated companies practically in America, except for
bottled water companies are the least regulated,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Which again are driving our entire medical system. I've talked to somebody in this. First you create the disease, then you market the pill.
Let me just say this before we go.
The top five pharmaceutical companies in the world, all located in the United States, some other
countries.
A supermarket makes 1% profit. The average industry makes 6% profit. Search, it's for marketing.
I'm going to say something I rarely say on the Raucous Caucus.
Uh-oh.
Terry and Garland, you're talking about the obscene corporate profits, and what Garland's talking about, which is what the Affordable Health Care Act did. And the nice things it does is it limits the cost you have to pay for health care to 2.5% of your income, 0.5% of their income into the health care system. So it's a number that everybody can afford. If you earn nothing, it's nothing. Even though it's not as good as Medicare, it's not as good as a public option, Anthony's right, it is better than the current system, and I'm afraid that the United States Supreme Court is going
to
strike it.
That's what we want to get to into part two. We're running out of time for this part of the show. That's a wonderful way to segue with Mark Garland and I being both right.
Take it back.
It's WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. We'll be back in a minute.
Because he looked suspicious. His confessed killer, for WPFW, I urge you to join over 2 million prosecute the man who took away the son of Tracy Martin and justice by signing the petition requesting the prosecution work. That's change.org. Trayvon is standing up for ourselves. Justice, visit change.org today.
And situation with my calm colleagues, you know, it's good for
Zen
PFW,
Raucous Caucus.
89.3 FM Pacifica in tonight. And we have a wonderful audience here. A little quiet. We have a little more noise.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a little stimulation to keep the heart going.
We're here every Tuesday in the whole month of audience, each week until, you know, there's standing room.
You know, and if you don't get to say or hear what you want to hear tonight, but we'll love to have
we
you.
We won't ignore you. We allow people to come up to a microphone and actually speak into Bill's wisdom.
There we go.
Oh,
the wisdom of Bill.
Oh, the wisdom of Bill. Anyway, before I do that, let me just quickly, I'm Terry D.
Just to say that we're at Ben's, 1211 U Street. There's still time. If you want to join us, you just trot out to the, and there you find the three of us arguing with each other as we do on and off the air. You can actually see that.
First of all, assuming we're not at the apocalypse since Mark said Garland and Terry are here.
It's a leap year. It's once every four years this happens.
All right, being a little more serious, I'm to be somewhat concerned.
I'm very concerned.
That the affordable health care, tell us what your reasoning is, what your thought process is with that prediction. Full law or just the mandate?
Great question.
And could you also, all three of you, weigh in on the pay? And have there been any rumblings about any preparation legislation since, so that the Supreme Court strike down will not be the last political blow?
6 hours about it. So I'll try to make it short.
So don't worry.
I'll try to make it short. The first thing is, it's because it doesn't require just one way to look at it. You can look at it as the taxing clause, the general wealth. If there were any law professor based on prior precedent that had a student that says, very conservative judges like Lawrence Silberman, one of the most conservative judges on DC Court Constitutional. If this is unconstitutional, logically, Medicare is unconstitutional. Yep. And by Ollie's barbecue case, a guy in Alabama didn't want to sell to black people. And they said, you have to sell your, it's not right. Forcing someone to buy. And yep. Interstate commerce. So, under prior precedent,
bad news
is that five guys in robes don't want to apply.
They haven't
prior precedent and law. Five guys in robes, actually at that time there was one woman in a robe, said that we don't like Gore being chosen by the American people. We're going to throw out prior precedent and choose Bush. They didn't like 100-year laws that said that corporations couldn't donate to campaigns. They threw those away. We have a runaway Supreme Court. So if you look at it as a loss, Reagan's Solicitor General said, of course it's constitutional. Prior to here, his name's Charles Freed. Look at us. Well, you may have heard Jeffrey Toobin with his mouth dropping. I can't believe they're saying this. I, being more cynical, do not believe these justices respect the Constitution of the United States. I know that's a strong statement, but I actually believe the Supreme Court would follow the law and precedent. I don't think they're following it. For Scalia, either making stuff... Scalia's smarter than that, okay? He's not so dumb. There's a huge difference between ignorance and malevolence.
It's the malevolence that scares
me. I and every other legal scholar got very concerned. And then the next question you ask, and I'll try... I still think there's a chance of that, that they'll just strike down the individual mandate and to try to sever it from... And they may throw the whole thing out, but I think Chief Justice Roberts knows that a lot of people like me, United... This becomes the third case where the Supreme Court goes totally off the rails. So I think the worst they did, 14 courts dismissed it out of hand, saying this seems constitutional. Three went to the mayor, and they just threw out the individual mandate. So the Supreme Court would be going on a real, real limb. Everyone would scream politics, or maybe it was yesterday. If this is overturned, obviously it would be. We need to know that if they overturn this, there's going to be a citizen uprising. That's my short answer.
Washington, D.C., for all of the legal things and the constitutions and the policy and the wonk, it's good old Harry Truman. You know, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog.
Right.
There is no question in my...
Oh, yeah.
And there's no question because of that, in my opinion, a mistake. And certainly directly looked at the Supreme Court and directly, you know, scolded them.
Basically. I don't think it was a mistake at all.
Maybe it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's absolutely true. Maybe it's valid. The point is, if you saw Roberts
on his ruling,
of course it would. You can't separate human emotions and be totally.
He was already.
Nobody does.
It really does. That's like talking about Dick Cheney's heart. It's only hypothetical.
And I don't think it's emotional, unfortunately. We'd be better off if we're emotional.
I don't think it is. At least personally,
ideology isn't emotional.
Not with this court.
Ideology.
And they'll have it long after.
Yeah.
It's not about Obama. It's not personal in that way.
He could have
loved
him.
Roberts isn't out to get the poor.
Bill.
Okay, so once more, you're obviously and blatantly political
decision. I truly fear that.
Okay. What is the possibility, even though the House is in the hands of the Republicans?
It ain't going to happen.
For this,
pretty sane, and I think there's some validity to it. If this gets thrown out, if the Supreme Court reaches political opportunity, in a sense they didn't have before, and they can push for single payer in
That'd
a way
great.
in a way that they couldn't have done before and wasn't accepted before, because it could literally, it becomes so black and white then if the Supreme Court turns this down, just saying, hey, 40 million people, you're screwed. 26-year-olds, you're screwed. You know,
let me just say one more thing.
It might be a political windfall.
Just one thing to answer Bill's question. It's technical, but I think it's justices knew that they couldn't strike down Medicare or literally old people, you know, if they tried to overturn Medicare. They tried to make a distinction between Medicare and this bill, quote, socialistic, far more government involvement. So the distinction they made is that Medicare does is it actually says that you get a discount on your taxes if you're in to agree, otherwise they'd be overturning Medicare, that you could tax everybody and give a discount, tax everybody and give a penalty for those that have insurance. Now, financially, it's the exact, because I don't have kids. But actually, it's what it, the way it works is they tax everybody and then they give a duty and then take away the money, or whether you don't tax everybody and add the money, it means exactly this. It's a very technical distinction between a tax and a penalty. It has no real life difference. What I'm saying, very tiny technicality. And Paul Ryan and his budget now wants to end Medicare,
which makes
taxing everybody and giving a discount rather than not taxing everyone and giving a penalty. It's a tiny technical.
Thank you, Roland.
Love you guys. Listen.
Thank you.
I was thinking I'm with Mark all the way, and then I worry that I'm just like you. I'm worried the Supreme Court's going to overreach the way they went way beyond what had been brought to them.
Absolutely,
to consider.
It wasn't no even question. Asked for. By
exactly, no. What really comes from the Federalist Society. That's what
there.
We're talking
yep.
about.
Yep.
And they could very well overreach and actually go after their baby. It's been a steady drumbeat since Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over and over again, I can't advertise.
You're exactly
this could be a
right.
stake
exactly right.
in the heart
exactly
of Social Security.
I don't think, and the reason is,
let me
you know,
say, the Republicans will try.
Even
to
if the court doesn't do that, if the Republicans are in the House again, they're going to pass bill after
sure,
bill.
Sure,
and if they,
they'll
you
need
know,
all three.
They're yeah. going to find ways to pick this apart, because this is ideological, and that's just a psychological fact. I mean, you can say it's this thing and that
I
thing.
I said it wasn't
idea,
personal.
But it's right down to what is my relationship to the state. What is my
right.
relationship to you? What
yeah,
last moral decisions?
But
then you put them yeah. in the policy and you pretend that it's legal this way or not, totally wrong, which is one of the reasons we have all this great corruption going on with lobbyists and everything else.
The point was, it's personal in how you view the world, your ideology, how it applies. Personal is between the Alito and Roberts and Obama.
Right.
Whether they is when,
how do you separate
when the Republicans gain power in any whatever it is, whether it's their governorship, you know, et cetera, when they get the power, they just go all out for whatever their ideological mission is, regardless
yeah.
of what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, kill the
they,
unions, destroy poor
yeah,
people.
Governor Walker gets in. Yeah, we're going to get jobs.
Fire teachers.
They get in, man. It's go after the unions. It's go after the women's rights. It's go et cetera. Well, traditionally. The Supreme Court was off limits for that kind of activity. The Supreme Court was where it happened. It's always happened. It was pretty much off limits.
Historically, I'm not sure you can say that.
Yeah, but I think much more so than now. You know. Now it has become pure ideology. It's so pure now that it's scary, because, you know, I thought as soon as I found out that it was going to, that they had granted certiorari and that the Supreme Court was going to look at it, my immediate reaction was, they're going to overturn it.
As soon as I heard they wanted 6 hours of oral argument,
yep.
I said, we're in trouble. You know, they chose our president and it took an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then this is 6 hours. It's funny, talking about that they've done this in the past. I was on, believe it or not, I was on Sean Hannity's radio show today.
Oh.
And I'm proud to say, listen, I'm proud to say,
it was an accident.
I'm proud to say he told me I was giving him a headache. So I'm very, very proud of that.
That's good.
Very proud of that.
Good work.
But in there, he said, and this just blew my mind, he said that judicial activism is when judges create a right that's not in the Constitution, but it's not judicial activism if they claim that something's not in the Constitution when it is. In other words, if the Constitution says the government can do it, and the Supreme Court says the government can't, the Supreme Court wins. Screw the Constitution.
Or as Humpty Dumpty said to Alice in Behind the Looking Glass, my words mean exactly what I say they mean.
And there's no,
it has nothing to do with what's real.
This whole activism thing is such a phony argument anyway, because any law, decision, or anything else has a moral component, social component, and a moral
but
effect.
But it also has a legal textual
and
component.
Legal.
And my point is that this is so far from the text of the Constitution where they can regulate whether a guy grows wheat in his own yard for his own benefit. They can regulate whether a woman in California can smoke marijuana for her own use.
No, you're saying it's so far from the Constitution. It's so far from the
prior precedent.
It's, yeah, by precedent,
right.
It is. But again, in terms of
you can argue those cases are wrong.
In those terms, in their terms of ideology, they're talking about, quote, the Constitution as this sacred document
that should never be changed.
It's a different point of view entirely.
The Constitution says, Article 1, Section 8, that Congress can regulate commerce among the several states. Now, you may well disagree that a guy growing wheat in his own yard in Kansas is commerce among the several nations. I actually think that's a tough case. I certainly disagree with Justice Scalia when he said that you could regulate a woman growing marijuana for her own use in California where it's legal, medically necessary. But to say that healthcare, which is 1/6 of the nation's economy, where you've got doctors and nurses and equipment and hospitals and people traveling state to state all the time, is not part of interstate commerce, requires either brain implant of some kind of
an aneurysm or some kind.
A lobotomy, or it requires someone who knows they're not following the law.
Particularly when, even without our own will and knowledge, if you or I are flumped down in the, whether we have insurance or not, if any of us fall on the floor right now, what are they going to do? Somebody's going to call 911. They're going to, whether we want to buy healthcare coverage, whether we can afford it or whatever, someone's going to pick us up. Ideally.
And guess what? I'm a Virginia resident. I'm out of state. Yeah. That's interstate commerce right there.
They're going to take you to a hospital, and you are going to be treated in some fashion, in some manner, and all of the rest of us, in one way or another, going to pay for it.
That's
it's hard to argue that something that every person uses and will use is not related to. It's impossible.
Right.
To argue.
Woman growing marijuana in her own yard really doesn't affect my life one way or the other. She grows it. She's in less pain. That doesn't affect me. But when when someone who doesn't have health care goes in and doesn't have insurance, I have to pay more.
And
that's obvious. And the Solicitor General said it again and again and again. And Scalia said, but that means they can make you buy broccoli. And Robert says, that means they can make you buy cell phones. They knew they were idiotic arguments when they made them.
Of course. And that's one of the things that bothered me the most, too, about those hearings. I couldn't listen to all of them. I don't know about you guys. I just could not. Because it seemed to be in the courtroom that the whole attitude was frivolous to a large degree.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it really is.
And what it really became... Because that's, if I'm not mistaken, that is the first time it's been broadcast. Is that correct?
No. Bush v. Gore, it was broadcast delayed. Bush v. Gore was actually broadcast live. I remember I listened to every word of
that. But, you know, I mean,
in pain, holding my heart.
Yeah. They really got caught up in the usual Washington stuff. It's showbiz. You know, once you get, you know.
Do you know what got the biggest laugh? The biggest laugh of the whole night was when Paul Clement, the guy trying to strike this down, representing the states, said, you know, all they have to do if the tax and penalty argument is wrong is Congress just go back and do it again. They could do it in a week. And
oh, what
of course, everybody laughed because everyone knew that was complete BS.
But did you see the articles? And again, this is what I mean, because it becomes showbiz, and even the Supreme Court justices are caught up in it. That's what Washington is about to a large degree. There were articles in the Washington Post about who would get the most laughs. And not only speaking of the justices, you know, who is the funniest and who isn't the funny? Who's more entertaining?
Yeah.
And
Thomas is the least entertaining. He hasn't talked since 2006.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, you know
what's interesting about this too? There's been some backstories on this about the plaintiffs who brought the case forth, who they used to bring the case forth. One of it's happened to a couple of them, but one of the particular women in Florida, she is at the core of the fight against Obamacare. She is the plaintiff they're using to go forth to Supreme Court. She filed for bankruptcy and I think about $5,000 or $6,000 of the bills that she claimed drove her into bankruptcy were healthcare bills because she doesn't have coverage.
So now why did she pay her name for the lawsuit? It's terrible. All these people are paying for my health care, and I don't want it to happen.
And I'll file bankruptcy. Why? Well, because I don't have health care coverage.
Well, and there is that fact, too, that we know that, again, something like 40% of all
seniors. She may have had a lobotomy. That
40% of all seniors are cutting back or not taking the medicine that they're required to take or supposed to take.
I don't understand that because under Medicare.
Because of their medical bills.
No, but if you're over 65, Medicare should cover you.
Part D, it does.
I mean, no, you're right. There's the whole
donut.
It's not
about
perfect.
Medication.
No, you're right about the donut hole for prescription drugs. So that
didn't Obamacare address the donut hole?
It closes it, but it closes it this year.
Okay.
But they're going to reopen it if it's overturned.
Oh, that's right.
They're not reopening that door.
No, they're not closing it this year. They're just decreasing it in steps, are they not?
I believe in the fall of 2012, it's closed. Yeah. I'll have to check that, but I believe it's the fall of this year.
And the other thing that's, you know, it's a good point to bring up since we're talking about that, that people have brought up, if this thing is defeated, the hospitals and many of the doctor's offices and everything else, you know, have already gone to a fair amount, and the states, a number of states have begun to adjust their system. They can't just sit back and wait.
Right.
So they're already in the process of accommodating.
Actually, 49 states and D.C. have done it. The only one that's refused is Arizona.
But, I mean, they've begun to accommodate the changes that are necessary. And if it's defeated, everything's back to ground zero again.
Some of them have actually put it in their state statutes.
Yes, I know.
So they'd have to repeal them. So, actually, some parts of this will live on.
Yeah.
Even if the states didn't intend it to, even if they declared unconstitutional, because they'd have to repeal their state
statutes. We get a basic choice. We either move to Massachusetts or Costa Rica. That's it.
Vermont. Vermont is now going to have.
I was going to say Vermont. So
What's your name, by the way?
Roland.
Roland, that's Roland. Right.
I take issue with the very premise that these judges, this court, can decide that something that Congress passed, a bill that Congress passed that promotes the general welfare of the American people is somehow unconstitutional. I would expect they'd have to somehow make the point what part of the Constitution is violated when they strike down this so-called Obamacare. I like Roland.
I want you to keep coming back every week. Roland knows.
Yes, good questions.
I like Roland because he knows his Article 1, Section 8. How many Americans know their Article 1, Section 8, which says right at the top, Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. See, here's the thing. It specifically says.
And if you read the preamble, it says the first thing is defense, and the second is the common good.
It says.
Not good for
promote
you,
the general
not
welfare.
Good for somebody else, but general
right,
welfare.
Promote
right.
the general welfare. Yeah, yeah. So this is something that the Constitution was founded to do. It's clearly something that it does. And, you know, the way the Constitution works is it may be limited powers, but if it's in there, you can do it. And frankly, before the Constitution, there was the Articles of Confederation, and they couldn't do this kind of stuff. So it's clearly in there. It's never been challenged before, which is, again, why all the law professors said, obviously, this is constitutional.
Avoid the issue by simply going on the technicalities that we've already discussed.
No, but see, even the technicalities, that there's four separate reasons why this is constitutional. There's the taxing clause, the general welfare clause, the interstate commerce clause, and the necessary and proper clause. Even all that tax and penalty stuff, that would knock out the tax clause. There's still three independent reasons why this is constitutional.
It's amazing, though. It amazes to me that we can be saying this right now, having witnessed Citizens versus
United. I'm not saying they're going to rule the way
Mark and I are very cynical about
that. I'm just telling you what the law is. I'm not saying they're actually going to apply it. No, forget that. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of frightening. And the question is, you know, when it happens, June.
It'll be June. End of June.
It is going to be, in either case, a huge political issue, which is going to
and social.
Yeah.
Because, Terry, here's the thing about this. This is what's interesting about this. There will be immediate consequences. There will be instant consequences.
People will be thrown
major
off insurance policies.
Social consequences.
Right.
People who have children in college, like me,
right,
who have children in college who may be 23, 24, right, 22, 25. There will be millions of college-age children, millions literally, who will immediately lose their health care coverage.
My uncle is a doctor. He cannot get coverage for his two children that have a pre-existing condition.
Yep.
Under this law, he could get coverage for them for the first time.
Their history.
Now pre-existing conditions will no longer
be covered. Well, not only that, lifetime limits, they can now revert back and say, well, you know, you've spent $4 million worth. Forget it.
And
in the middle of that heart surgery, closing back up.
And if you think about it in terms of medicine, what exactly is a pre-existing condition?
It's birth.
Birth, yeah.
Exactly. That's it.
In fact, one of the things I was hearing, everything
after that, you know, pre-existing condition.
There are.
And I mean scientifically.
No, literally infants born.
Scientifically, that's
with pre-existing conditions.
Yep. Sure.
Because of some fetal abnormality, and they cannot get insurance from the moment they are born.
Well, yeah, and you bring genetics into that, and what they're doing in genetic research, I mean, that really is the point. You can take anything and saying, well, his genes are this way, therefore it's a pre-existing
Down
condition.
Down syndrome is a pre-existing condition.
Mark, I say we go to the Supreme Court and we argue that we didn't have the condition before we existed. So it couldn't possibly be a pre-existing condition. Think about it.
No, but they would say birth begins at conception.
Okay, now we've gone into theology.
Yeah,
no,
or metaphysics or something.
There we go.
Now you're giving me a headache.
Yeah, right. You know. This, by the way, we should take a little break here just so we don't forget it. We got to thank, we've got a couple more minutes yet, but I do want to make sure we give a thank to David Kelly over there in our station, who's taking
Absolutely.
Care of everything on that
and
end of broadcasting
this. Sitting right by our
and
side.
To our wonderful engineer, Daniel, right here beside us, right.
And to Nizam Ali, and all the,
and
staff,
the staff
at Ben's who put up with us week after week after
right.
week, and do so with a smile.
Occasionally a smile, yeah.
And Roland and Anthony and Bill tonight for their brilliant comments.
What more could you possibly ask, yeah.
So bring your friends. Come back next week. Make it, you know, the food's good, right?
The food's
the conversation's
good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even though Terry's wrong, it doesn't matter. Actually,
well, no, wait, no,
today I said
not.
You're right.
Right.
Today I said you're right.
We're both right.
That's,
right.
I know. It's
we're all right.
I prefer it when you're wrong. It's
I'm
just
sorry.
More fun that way.
That's why they got to come back so they can
well,
see you being
right. That's right.
It's all being wrong.
That's
Instead
true.
Of just you being wrong, all three of us could be
Well, you know what? If someone actually wants to see us, we did it. Did a the TV show that we did?
Oh,
is up
did.
Online.
Oh man,
if you
it's
just
sexy.
Want
to, it is sexy.
Email
I
me.
Tell you.
My email address is garlandin@gmail.com.
I gotta put that on my website.
Yeah, garlandin@gmail.com. I'll send you the links and
no,
you can watch the three of us.
It's wrong. It's really wrong.
All right.
All right, I'll put up my website, marklevinetalk.com. You can also follow us, but you can follow me at marklevinetalk. You can also follow the Raucous Caucus on Twitter at Raucous Caucus DC, and we read some of your tweets on the air. So
and of course,
free.
You can go, and believe it or not, you can go straight to WPFW.org and you can download any one of or almost all of our shows and listen to them in a marathon, like for 24 or 26
right.
hours straight, hour after hour of the Raucous
Yeah, but that's
caucus.
Led to suicides all across
that's
the
kind of like
chair.
Electroshock treatment back in the 60s. It's not going to happen. Surely the result in insanity.
Oh, well, we got to mention also that Brother Ah is coming up with the jazz
Uh-oh.
Collection. And thank heavens for Brother Ah coming up to quiet things down in just a
Next
moment.
Next Tuesday, we'll be here again.
Next Tuesday.
Every Tuesday in April. April right. is Ben's month. It's 1211 U Street, right next door to Ben's Chili Bowl. And we'd like to see you. I'm watching the time, Terry. You still got,
well, that's good.
Three,
got 3 minutes.
Minutes.
Well,
so
in that case, Garland and Mark, how could you possibly have taken this position at this point? You're wrong on the Constitution. You're wrong in terms of ideology. You're wrong
Terry.
In terms of personality. We've got 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Let's go.
Mark!
I think I just heard the devil's advocate
yes,
right there.
Yeah, right. No, that's the normal. That's the normal Terry.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so what? So what? Well, is,
who
okay,
took the
so
other Terry?
Minute,
drugged
so,
him in.
You know, so wait a minute, Mark. Your prediction. Do they overturn it? Yay or nay? Get off the fence.
I predict they will overturn it by a 5-4 decision. They will overturn the individual mandate. I don't like this prediction. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
I predict, but I predict they will sever the individual mandate from the rest and allow many aspects of the law to remain in place.
All right. I predict. Even more cynically, that they'll throw everything out.
Wow.
I predict they'll
really
throw
hard.
It all out. It's
wow.
all gone.
I'm with Garland. I think
wow.
the whole thing's going to be thrown out, unfortunately. That, I mean, it's really disgusting, but I think
yeah.
that's the
way. And it's
going to
demonstrate where our country yeah. is ideologically
so,
right now, exactly yeah. what's
you
going
asked
on.
A question. I'm going to ask one of both of you. Let's assume that happens. Let's assume they throw it all out. How does that affect the fall campaign, Terry?
It plays right into Obama, frankly.
You think it helps Obama?
I think it's a great advantage. I hate to see it be done that way. But I think it's a great
How
advantage
does it help
for Obama.
Obama?
Well, as we talked about before, all these people are going to be suffering
yeah.
very, very quickly. You know, college students, Garland's
yeah.
daughter, you know.
People who had health care before. 40
million people that have their hopes up, you know. People
once,
who are waiting for the donut hole to shrink.
Yeah. Once you
know.
Give people something,
yeah.
you can't take it back. And when you take it back, that's going to be a major
yeah,
problem.
I think it's going to play into Obama's hand. And I think maybe that might be the reason.
So are we all predicting Obama's reelection? Because I predicted that a few months ago.
It'll help.
That. I predict
that. And I want to remind you both, because I just like, you know, needling you with this. Both of you at one time predicted Newt Gingrich was going to win the nomination. I'm never going to let y'all leave it down.
Yeah,
I
right.
always said it was going to be Romney. And I just have to remind all of America
the
that you two were
not,
both
the
wrong.
The convention
on that
is not over yet.
It is not over.
I don't think it's going to be Newt Gingrich.
The convention's not over yet.
You know, when you've got a Mitt and a Newt, you know, who can predict between who's going to win? Mitt, Newt, Newt, Mitt. I mean, come on. It's going to be good.
No, it's,
and
that
means we
got to
wrap it up. This is the Raucous Caucus. I'm Terry DeKester with
Mark Levine
and Garland Nixon.
Oh, I'm so glad they're confused. We'll be back next week here at Ben's Next Door. Please join us. WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Thank you.
at 89.3 FM. This is member-supported WPFW Washington.